Good morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. It's a joy to be able to assemble that we are today to worship our God and sing these songs of praise. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Got an excellent number today, it looks like, several who are visiting with us, and we want you to know how honored we are to have you with us. Hope you'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock. We are going to have a special presentation by those that just got back from Aruba on a mission trip a few weeks ago. I think you'll really enjoy the things that are said there. I do want to congratulate Leslie Moat, the coach at ACA. We're so thankful to have he and his family here at Del Rata. He got his head coaching career here at ACA off to a good start. They won on Friday night, and we are certainly thankful for that, and we congratulate him. On even a happier note, because this is spiritual in nature, Missy Duke, one of the students at Faulkner University, was baptized by Brother Chris Mulkey on Friday night, and we certainly want to commend her and her obedience to the gospel. I don't know where she is, but I just wanted to raise her hand. I'm not going to embarrass her, but asking her to stand. She's back there toward the back, and if you want to congratulate her after services, be sure and do so today. I do want to put in a little plug in for our lesson 2 weeks from today. We are approaching the 10th anniversary of 9/11, something that many of us remember very distinctly, and I plan to present a very special lesson on September the 11th, reflecting on the 10th anniversary, lessons that I believe we need to learn from this. So come back tonight, if you will, at 5 o'clock. Of course, today I'm talking about going back to school. And of course, that's a great transition for many of us. I remember each of my kids' very first day of school. Time goes by so quickly. And I loved to go to school. I enjoyed going to school. I didn't dread it whatsoever. I came across this cartoon that I thought was somewhat humorous, entitled here, "What I Did on My Summer Vacation Essay Due Today." And the teacher says, "Byron, this is entirely too short." And he says, "That's my point exactly. The summer is too short." And they are short, aren't they? The summers go by so very, very quickly. We move from one year to the next, but as Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us, there's a time and a place for everything, and it's time to get back to school and to school activities. This morning, I want to talk about some things that I believe our kids ought to remember, and I'm going to talk about some things that aren't just for kids. These are things that all of us need to think about as Christians. I hope you, if you're out of school now, as a lot of you are, I hope you won't tune these points out, because these are applicable to you. Now, I'm not going to talk about hygiene. You know, I went to a restaurant not too long ago, and the sign said above the sink, "Employees must wash hands." I waited and waited and waited, and finally I just decided to wash them myself. I just wanted to make sure you were still listening to me. But we're not going to talk about hygiene. We're not going to talk about, you know, how to make good test scores and that kind of thing. We're going to talk about things relative to character and being the kind of young people that we need to be. First of all, I want to suggest to our kids that we need to always remember to treat other people with love and care. You know, love is goodwill, it's benevolence in action, it's seeking the interest of other people above our own. As the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And yet I think we know that sometimes children at school can be some of the most cruel people. Sometimes children can say very hurtful things to their peers, things that sometimes are difficult to get over. But regardless of what grade you might be, regardless of how young you might be, I would encourage you to remember the words of Proverbs 16 and verse 24, where the Bible says, gracious words are like an honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the body. Speak gracious words. Don't speak words that hurt one another, that maybe make you look better at their expense. Think about the words that you say and be gracious, realizing that those words are sweetness to the soul. It uplifts one who hears those words. It even makes one feel good physically. Speak gracious and positive words to your peers. And always keep in mind the golden rule of Matthew 7 and verse 21. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be willing to put yourself in the place of another person. How would I want that person to treat me if I were in their situation? If I were sitting by myself at the lunch table, would I want somebody to come and sit with me? If it appeared that maybe nobody was interacting with me, would I want somebody to come and maybe talk to me? You see, this golden rule is the epitome of selflessness. The more I'm focused on other people, the more that I'm in tune to what the needs of other people might be, the less focused I am on myself. The less selfishness there is in my life. And the less selfishness that I am in my life, the more happier I'm going to be. Always, in every situation, think about the golden rule. You know, God's people need to be known as people who are really friendly to other people. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times. Proverbs 18, 24, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Be a true friend to other people. Be a person that other people can rely on and depend on and have confidence in. Remember to treat other people with love and respect. Secondly, though, I might suggest that young people need to remember to respect and to obey those who have authority over you. I think it's obvious that one of the great problems among young people today in America is a lack of respect. And it's sad that there's some teachers in some of our schools today that live in fear. Live in fear of what teenagers might in fact do to them. They even in fact fear their lives. Gone is the day when we see young people show respect, it seems like, by saying yes ma'am and yes sir. We need to be respectful toward those who are in authority. And it all begins in the home, doesn't it? You know, if the kids are brought up and they don't respect mom and dad, how in the world can we expect them to go to school and respect their teachers or respect police officers and other people who are in authority? The home is where respect for authority must begin. That's why when you are in school, you ought not be the one that's talking and cutting up, trying to make other people laugh when the teacher's trying to accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish, even if it's boring in your own mind, because you are to respect authority. And you respect authority by listening and submitting to the teacher, to the one who's in authority. And God's people are expected to treat those who are older with great honor. People who are older than you are wiser than you. They've lived life, and you treat older people with great honor and respect. And I think you need to keep in mind what I believe your parents have tried to teach you and to instill in your minds. If most parents are like what I realize they are, your parents are praying for you. They're praying for you to be the right kind of person. They're praying that things will go well for you. And your parents have, I believe, tried to treat you and to teach you to respect those who have authority. Don't forget the admonition that your parents have given you. But you also need to remember that an individual that does not honor and obey those that are over them will, in fact, live to regret it later. In the scripture reading this morning of Ephesians 6, we have the admonition, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Now, think about it from a selfish perspective if you have to. The text goes on to say that it may be well with you. You want to live a good life? You want to be happy? You want to prosper? You obey those who have authority over you. And then I want to suggest this morning as well that we need to remember to be careful about who you choose as friends and to hang out and who you hang out with. And if I had to put one point above any other of these, it probably would be this point. This is so very important. You are going to be influenced by both positive as well as negative peer pressure at school. You cannot help it. Even older people are subjected to peer pressure. It's just a part of life. You're developing your self-esteem at this point in time. You're vulnerable in so many respects as a youngster. And the peer pressure sometimes is so very strong. That's why the Bible is full of warnings about the friends that we choose. We know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, don't be deceived. Evil companionships will corrupt good morals. You see, it doesn't matter how strong of a Christian you might be. It doesn't matter what kind of a Christian home you may have been brought up in. You may have been taught great values. You may be an individual of great character. That doesn't matter if you begin to hang around the wrong kind of people. Birds of a feather always flock together. And I always like to say, if I want to know what kind of person you are, just let me spend 10 minutes with three of your best friends, and I think I can begin to tell you the kind of person you really are. You are going to become and be like those with whom you associate. And so I encourage you to associate with the right kind of people. The kind of people that will build you up. The kind of people that make it easier to do what's right rather than do wrong. You know, wrong friends will lead us down the wrong paths. Young people sometimes find themselves involved in situations that they never thought they would be in. They're doing things and maybe saying things they never thought they would say and do simply because they're hanging out with the wrong kind of people, going down the wrong path. And keep in mind that some are only your friends because of what they can get from you. Some are only going to try to use you. They're going to use you for their benefit. And when they think they've achieved that, they'll just throw you away like they would a piece of trash. Very quickly, we have an example here of Amnon. Bible says Amnon had a friend in 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 3. And we know that Jonadab, the friend of Amnon, led him to commit an awful act that brought great tragedy and division in David's family for generations to come. And so keep in mind that your friends are not neutral. they will either help you to do what's right, or else your friends will lead you to do that which is wrong. But then let me suggest this morning that you need to remember to be a good example to others of what God's people are really like. At school, you're going to have chances to shine as lights to the world. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's very possible that the only picture that people you associate with at school are going to ever see of a Christian is your life. That may be the only true depiction they see and understand of what a Christian is to be and to do. I know the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22, we've got a very graphic word picture here. And the Bible says there, as a gold ring is in a swine's snout, so is a lovely lady that fails to practice discretion. Now you think about the Jews who hated the swine and how this application would be even stronger for them. You know, a pig's ugly. I'm not going to offend anybody, but pigs are ugly. And it's just totally inappropriate, isn't it, to put a beautiful gold ring in the snout of a pig? Well, what's the wise man saying here? In the same way, it would be inappropriate to try to decorate an ugly pig. It's also inappropriate for a Christian young man or a young lady to act in a way that is not discreet. That means you need to watch the things that you say. You need to watch how you dress. You need to be sure that your behavior is becoming to a child of God. And you need to be a shining light for good to those round about you. You know, God wants you to have fun while you're young. This is a wonderful time in your life, and you need to have fun, but when you're having fun, never lose sight of serving God. Remember Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your own eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. I think we need to remember the example of Daniel and his three friends in Daniel chapter 1, how that they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. They made the decision ahead of time. And so, young people, I encourage you to realize that you're in a very special position right now. You have opportunities that will never come your way again to be that individual that can lead other people to Jesus Christ. That door of opportunity will not last very long. But then this morning, I would like to speak a word, if I could, to our college students. And certainly I hope you realize today that these things that I'm talking about have application to all of us. But you know, preparing for college is a great deal. It takes a great deal of work. But I want us to realize, especially as our college students, that spiritual preparation is by far the most important attribute that you're going to take with you to a Christian campus. A college experience is exciting. I know the time I spent in college was some of the best times that I've ever had. It's going to open up many doors of opportunity, and for most, this is going to include lifelong friendships and perhaps even a future marriage partner. But I want to suggest briefly as I close today, three things for you to remember. Number one, you need to be holy. A Christian student must remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. Be you holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, with the newfound freedom you have in college, the challenge for a Christian to maintain a lifestyle that is pleasing to God is so great. And even if you're attending a Christian college, which many of you are blessed to do, temptations still exist to conform to the standards of the world. And holiness simply means to live a lifestyle that is honorable to God. And you need to remember that God is holy. God is set apart, and God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be set apart in your life. Number two, I want to suggest to you that you need to be strong. As a college student, you may find that maintaining a holy lifestyle in college is not always easy, and God's word never promises that doing what's right is going to be easy. That's why a Christian student must commit to being strong in the Lord. We think about the example of Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told King Nebuchadnezzar, "We will not bow down to your gods. We will not serve them, regardless of the consequences. Our trust is in the one true God." Now, that decision they made was not made on the spur of the moment. It was a decision that they had made previously. And you need to determine beforehand that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to do what's right regardless of the circumstances. And sometimes standing strong means that a Christian student may face repercussions for doing what's right. And I encourage you to remember the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here were three young men that were strong in their convictions that they were going to be true to God. Young people, as 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, you need to sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. I encourage you to study. I encourage you to be strong in your convictions and have the courage to stand for what you know is right. Be holy. Be strong. And then thirdly and lastly, I would encourage you to be connected. You know, although living a strong and holy life is certainly a challenge, especially at college, I think the task will certainly be less difficult for you if you are surrounded and supported by other Christian friends. You know, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think were strong in many cases because they stood together. Now, Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, there's the old saying that habits die hard. And once you develop a bad habit, there's usually great difficulty in trying to correct that. And I think it's unfortunate that sometimes college students fall into the bad habit of not regularly assembling with the saints. And when you do that, you're going to struggle with being strong in the Lord. You're going to struggle with living that holy lifestyle that is set apart from the world. Christian encouragement and support is vital in maintaining a right relationship with God. That's why I think a wise college student especially will find a good, strong, local congregation, and they'll be involved in the work of that church. That's why I think our young people here, our college students in particular here, are very blessed. I think we have a congregation here that is solid. I think about Brother Billy Camp, our college minister, who's grounded firmly in the faith. I think you have a place here where you can be involved in the work of the Lord. I think you're blessed to attend a place like Faulkner University where your standards can be supported and upheld, and you need to be thankful for that and realize what a blessing that is and will be for your life for as long as you live. And so it's my desire for all of us to be successful in life, to be happy, to serve our God. But as you go back to school, and for that matter, as you go back to work tomorrow, do whatever you're going to do, remember to treat others with love and care. Remember to honor and respect your teachers. Obey the instructions of your parents. Submit to those who are in authority. Remember to be picky when you pick your friends. And remember to be an example to others of what it means to be a child of God and to do what is right. You know, in making many great memories, I want to encourage you to always remember who you are and remember what you stand for. Remember, your primary duty in life is to bring glory and honor to God by what you say and what you do. This morning, it may be that there are those here who have never obeyed the gospel. You're yet outside the family of God, and you may need to come today and make that decision to obey the gospel, to demonstrate your faith in God and in Christ by repenting of your sins, changing your life, giving your life to the Lord, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, and even today being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you haven't walked and lived as you should. Maybe you need to come today as a Christian and make corrections in your life. This morning, the invitation is yours.